Amen. Well, good morning, guys. You guys doing okay? Come on, somebody shout. And how about everybody else? You guys doing all right? All right. Well, good. My name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel Community Church. And just excited today that we are going to be concluding our series about marriage, relationships, and singleness called The Art of Marriage and Relationships. For the past 2 weeks, Pastor Lance has really done a great job at talking about the area of marriage and relationships. Last week, he did a phenomenal job. He spoke about how expectations in marriage and in relationships, how they can destroy the joy, how they can rob the peace in your marriage. But today, as we end on, I think, a high note today, we're going to talk about something a little bit different. It's actually going to be talking to people that are married, people that are dating or engaged, and to people that are single today. Now, that's difficult to do. Look at your neighbor and say, that's difficult to do. But I believe today it will speak to all of us. I had a pastor one time that told me that certain things are simple, but that doesn't mean they're easy. This is going to be a very simple message, but it's definitely not easy. If you have a paper or a pen, take a note on your phone. I really believe today is a day that you'll want to do that today. You may want to share it with somebody else today. We're going to focus today on developing a vision for your marriage, a vision for your relationship, and a vision for your singleness. A lot of people get involved in these things, but we don't always have a vision for it. It's kind of like we make it up as we go along. Can somebody say amen? It's kind of like parenting. You've never done it before, so you really don't know what you're doing. You can read books, you can ask mom and them, you can ask your friends, but when you get in it, you're just a hot mess because you really don't know. I thought my wife would know everything about parenting because she went to college for early childhood education. So obviously, she knows what to do. Wrong. She was just as clueless as I was. Like, you spent thousands of dollars to learn how to do this stuff. But we were both just as lost. So these are interesting. Three completely different areas of marriage, dating or being engaged, and being single. But the interesting thing about all three of those areas is they all have the same goal. We're going to find out today. I just want to pray as we get started. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, God, that you will speak to us. I pray, God, that you would encourage us today. And Father, we thank you today that as your word comes alive, we pray today, God, that our hearts would come alive. We would be attuned like a piano or like a guitar. God, if we are off center, off focus, God, you would put us back into alignment today with your perfect will. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. Guys, a lot of us, we have these dreams about what our relationships could be. A lot of us focus a lot of time and a lot of attentions about what it could be, what the marriage could be. For example, people that are married, all of you walk into marriage. We walk into marriage thinking one day we're going to grow older together. We're going to be at Cracker Barrel waiting around 3 o'clock to go to dinner. We're going to be holding hands in the rocking chair. We're going to be old and decrepit, 99 years old, just holding off for that century mark. That's the goal, that all of us are going to meet that. You know, last night we had a great event for people that are married or dating and engaged. And we had around 60 people there, around 32 couples, somewhere around there, couples from Bethel Community Church. And we talked about the value of marriage, and we talked about one of the goals is getting to that half century mark of being married for 50 years and how glorious that would be. And for some of us, we dream about what our relationships, and if you're dating or you're engaged, you dream about what it could be. And even if you're single, you think you have all these plans of what it could be. When I was single, I wanted to travel, I wanted to do this, and I want to have businesses, and all these things I wanted to do to accomplish when I was a single person. But we're going to talk about today not necessarily what could be. I think most of us focus on what it could be, but very, very few of us focus on what it should be. We focus on what it could be, but not necessarily on what it should be today. You know, we've called this series The Art of marriage, the definition or one of the definitions of art is the expression or an application of a creative skill or imagination. And we're going to talk about that today. You know, sometimes when I speak, I feel like God's going to hit people between the eyes with the word of God. But today, I feel like he's just going to slap the taste out of folks' mouth today. Sometimes we need the taste slapped out of our mouths. And I believe the word of God is going to do that today. You know, when we talk about art, for me and my family, we love art. I think about great Italian sculptors and painters like Michelangelo. One of his most famous works was in the year 1504. He did this sculpture of David. David from the Bible. And I was going to throw a picture, but that brother's butt naked. Full naked. I'm not going to put that on the screen for you today. But he had this famous quote that when he looked at that slab of marble, he said he could see inside of it. And his task as a sculptor was to simply set David free. And it's amazing that when you look at these amazing artists from the past, they had a vision. They would see a canvas. And in their minds, they saw the most beautiful thing ever. But it wasn't until they used that brush and had stroke after stroke to be able to unleash what was in their imagination. There's this guy named Van Gogh. He had a painting called Starry Nights, probably one of my favorites and my family's favorites. You could just look at this and just see how beautiful it is. Sometimes there's artwork that is just so beautiful. This would be called a masterpiece, one of his greatest works. When you look at art, sometimes it just causes you to stare at it. If you were to go into a museum and see a famous work of art, you'll see many people just staring closely and intently at the art sometimes for hours, just to marvel at how the artist saw this beautiful picture in his head or her head before they put it on the canvas. And what a lot of times we'll do is we'll take something so beautiful and we'll reproduce it. And even in the city of Clarksville in downtown, we've got this beautiful side of a brick wall. And these are my beautiful twins the other day that we just saw this and like, look, it's Starry Night. And we stopped and we took a picture, and it's sometimes when you see a work of art, you can't help just to get close to it and just marvel at it and sometimes take a selfie with it and just be in front of it. And it's also like a great marriage. Last night we had these three amazing couples, and one was married for a few years and one was married for a few more years, and Pastor Ron and Nancy, they're married for 42 years and they were able to give their testimony, and I saw people taking pictures. And I was taking videos. You listen to these stories because it's not often in the world that we live in that you see a marriage last that long or longer. And sometimes when we see a nice old couple, one time I was walking to Lowe's and I saw this elderly man and elderly woman and they were just walking in the Lowe's. And something about that just makes you stop and think, imagine how they went through hard times. Imagine all the storms of life that they suffered through, but yet they're still together. And it's amazing how you hear all of those stories. It's really nothing less than a masterpiece itself, a work of art. Now, we're going to focus our attention today that even though we talked about art, God is really the artist. Can someone say amen? We are the canvas. Your stage in life, whether you are married, whether you are dating or engaged, or whether you are single, your stage of life is the canvas for God. And God has a vision for that canvas. And he will use his brush to make it beautiful if we will allow him to. Can someone say amen? The big question is, can we embrace the vision that God has for our canvas? See, the thing is when we are single or we're not currently in a relationship, a lot of times that time is spent being just about us. And when we get into a relationship, we still think it's going to be just about us. Most of us walk into a relationship, whether it's dating or being engaged or being married, and we want the most epic relationship ever, don't we? That's the new word we want. We want everything to be epic. We want our conversations to be epic. We want our dates to be epic. And we'll go crazy places. We'll do crazy things because we want everything about our relationship to be the best ever. And we have great intentions when we start dating that where we're going, it's going to be the most beautiful relationship. We think it's going to be like, many of you guys remember Buttercup and Wesley from The Princess Bride. We think it's just going to be wonderful. Or we remember Jack and Rose from Titanic. We think we're going to be doing Superman poses on a boat. And our loved one's just going to be holding us, and it's going to be the most beautiful thing. And our love story is going to be talked about for generations. But it always doesn't work out like that, does it? And a matter of fact, those views in relationships are so much about us and so much about the wrong thing. Years ago in science, these guys and these ladies in science, they used to think the world was centered around, the universe was centered around the world. You know, back in the day of brothers like Copernicus and before that, they would look up at the stars in the sky and they would see the sun come up and the sun go down and the rotation of the stars, and they would just assume that everything must be centered around us. Because we're the earth, we're the greatest. And then years later, they found out that, of course, that the center of our galaxy is not really rotating around the earth, but really around the sun. And what happens sometimes in our life, we think that the centrifugal force of our life is really centered around us. We think everything is really around us. But we're going to find out today that it's really not about us at all. Let's look in Philippians chapter 1. You guys with me today? Say amen. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 18, we're going to take a look. Now, it's interesting as we look at relationships and even being single and even in marriage, probably the person who wrote the most about marriage, relationships, and the entire Bible was a guy who was never married. I always thought that was interesting. We get our best marriage stuff from like the book of Ephesians chapter 5. But who was it written by? It was written by the Apostle Paul. This brother wasn't married. But he's telling us all about relationships. And he doesn't just talk about marriage. He talks about life. And he talks about what's really important. In Philippians chapter 1, he said, "What does it matter?" The Apostle Paul says this. He says, "The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, that Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice." We're going to get involved in a conversation in a second that really everything about our stage in life, whether we're single, whether we're dating or engaged, or whether we're married, has little to do about you and more to do about telling of Jesus Christ. The focus is really not on us, but about God using us to communicate the story of Him, no matter what stage we are in. Feel the taste getting slapped out of your mouth just a little bit? God is the artist, and we are the canvas. Somebody say amen. But the problem is that many of us, we go through our single life with no vision. We go to our dating life with no vision for it. And we go through our marriage life with no vision for it. But I'm so thankful that our God has a plan for it. You know, when I was a little boy, I used to watch, for some reason on PBS, I would watch this great painter named Bob Ross. Anybody remember Bob Ross? And I don't know why. Come on, you can give it up to Bob Ross. Come on, the brother's dead now, but he was strong back when he was living. And I would watch him for a whole, I don't know how long the show was, but at 8, 9 years old, I'm sitting there glued to the TV. I'm like, why am I watching this? But I can't look away. And he would just make these happy trees and these happy bushes. And I would just be mesmerized. There wasn't a mountain there. Now it is one. And God is like that. God is like that. He will take a canvas that is blank, and in no time, He can make something amazing with it. And I want you to get this image in your mind that you are the canvas. Your marriage, your dating relationship is the canvas. Your singleness is the canvas. In the eyes of God, He has a masterpiece planned for that canvas. And what God does, just like Bob Ross, He will use His brush to stroke across your life and to leave these indelible marks on your life that cannot be mistaken. And when God has done this masterpiece, people will marvel at it. It's just like when we see a couple that's been married for 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, or somebody who walked through their single life living holy. What do you mean? Well, I think about Pastor Lance and Deanna. Do you know her first kiss was when she got married? I don't understand that. When I grow up, we didn't roll like that. But her parents instilled in her values and holiness. And when you hear stories like that, you're like, can that really be done? In the age of Tinder, and Christian mingling, right? Farmers.com or whatever they have now, right? Can that really be done? And when you hear stories about people going through the dating process, trying to do it God's way, the world marvels at that. And it scratches its head. But in the eyes of God, you are a canvas. And God is wanting to create a masterpiece in your life. And here's the thing. God has a brush. We don't think about this. But God uses brushes to create a masterpiece. You know, he's got three brushes. One is the Word of God. He uses the Word of God to create a masterpiece in you. It's sometimes when you are reading the Word of God and something hits you and God's Word says that you need to live your life like this and you start to hear that Word preached and people start to quote that Word to you, you have a choice to make. Am I going to allow the brush of God to create something in me, or I'm going to figure out what I want to be and I'm going to do it my way? See, when you reject God's word, you're rejecting the artwork. You're rejecting the masterpiece that God wants to create in you. Remember, the goal of all of this, we're going to get to it in several verses in a minute, is that he can get glory from that canvas. So when the world marvels, they're not really marveling at you. They're marveling at the work of the artist. When we look at Van Gogh's Starry Night, I'm not just looking at the art and like, wow, that's a beautiful work of art. I'm marveling at the handiwork of the artist who had a vision. When we look at Michelangelo, we're marveling at the handiwork of the one who had a vision for it. The second thing, the second type of brush that God uses is the people of God. He uses the Word of God and he uses the people of God. That's why we talk a lot about community groups and being around and doing life together and hanging out with each other and going out to eat and talking about the issues of life, because we try to make up life as we go along. I'm going to get really, really practical. Most of us don't know what we're doing from day to day. We don't want to admit that. Sometimes I feel like, Pastor Ron, God puts me on earth to say the things that nobody else wants to say. We don't want to admit we don't know how to be married. We don't know how to be parents. We don't know how to be single the right way. That's why we Google stuff. Right? All-knowing, all-powerful Google, tell me. Yes, Master. Yes. Right? We don't know how to do that, and we're so full of pride, we don't go ask people who are doing it right. But God puts people of God around us that we can rub elbows with, real, live, breathing humans who are trying to do it God's way. God puts them all around us in the workplace and at church, in our neighborhood. And sometimes when we don't know what to do, God has these brushes right beside us. And all we have to do is go to them and say, you know what, my marriage is a hot mess. And then the brush, God puts a person of God, will quit cussing your wife out. Uh-oh, that's novel, right? Well, go over here and my finances are a hot mess. Don't have an $800 car note. I could not believe we live in a day when people got an $800 car note. I thought $400 was a lot. People beg people for a $400 car note nowadays. And so we have the Word of God. God uses His Word. He uses people around us to create something in us, to create a masterpiece. And the last thing, if you're married, God uses your spouse as probably the most intricate and amazing brush that God has. It's amazing how the closest human being on the planet can push your buttons in just the way to make you want to scream. And it's like, I thought you were a gift from God. You're acting like a curse from the enemy. But here's the thing, this is so much truth. God will use that person that He has brought close to your life. And there's some stuff that will come out of you. Okay? God is using that person to reveal that stuff so that He can wipe it away. Okay, have you ever seen Bob Ross? He makes him happy trees and stuff, and he slaps that stuff. Oh, we got a little too much here. God does the same thing. He will allow the person that He brings into your life as a spouse, and they will see the intricate details of your life. They know the real you, not the pretty churched up you. They see the you and the, you know, the 5 a.m. stank breath. Okay, they know that. You know, your drawers is on the floor and you don't pick them up. They see that you. See, you don't have to lie around them. They see you for who you really are. And sometimes God will just allow that person to notice things about you. And why do you do that? And you didn't realize how much selfishness, how much greed was inside of you. And God will use your spouse as a brush to reveal things in you that God wants to expose in you, because it does not honor Him, because it does not give Him glory, because those things are in Him and in you. And remember the whole concept, it's not about you. Everybody say, it's not about me. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not about me. Whether you're dating or engaged, whether you're single, whether you're married, all of it. This is hard for us. Because we're Americans. We're America. Right? I want a cheeseburger. I want it now. And the drive-thru better not take that long. It's all about, and we don't think that way. But we are that way. All of us. I'm that way. And God doesn't like it to be about us. He's creating a beautiful masterpiece in our lives. And He has put His hand to the brush. And sometimes what we do is, before He begins to do a beautiful part of that canvas, we grab the hand of God. We grab that brush out of His hand. We dare to think we know better. We dare to think we know what we're doing, when in reality, we don't know anything. We're just making it up. Somebody say amen. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians. So those three things are: the Word of God is a brush, the people of God, and if you're married, the spouse that God gives you is a brush. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Just if you didn't realize that God is creating something in you that's really not about you, the Apostle Paul, he tells the Corinthian church, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, he says, "You are our epistle written in our hearts." Now that word epistle, don't let it throw you off. All that means is you are a letter. He's saying basically, you are a letter from God to the world. Your life has been written on it by God to the world. Basically, to sum it down, God is trying to say things through your life. He said, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men." He's saying when you go to work, when you come home, when you're cutting your grass, people see your life. And if you proclaim the name of Jesus, if you proclaim that Jesus is your Lord, people are watching your letter, your life, and they're reading what your life is about. So if you are not living like the Word of God says you should live, they're reading that too. Okay? They're reading that too. It says, clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, not written with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. God is trying to write a beautiful letter to this world on your heart so that He can get glory. There is a world that is hurting. I mean, our world is so divided, it is twisted politically, racially, economically, and God is trying to get people's eyes open. He will use us to do that. In other words, this life is so much more important than being centered around us. He wants to use you as a masterpiece. As a masterpiece. God has a vision for you. Here's the thing. Will you allow the vision that God has for you come through? Got one more last verse. And some of you guys, anybody raised Catholic, just raise your hand. Some of you guys might remember this, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which is an amazing piece of work. It says that, what is the chief end of man? Basically, what's the purpose of life? It says to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I love King Solomon in Ecclesiastes. My last verse for today is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. This man, Solomon, he lived a life that we can't even imagine. Brother had 700 wives, 300 concubines, more money than you could imagine. Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos had nothing on Solomon. He says in verse 12 in Ecclesiastes, this is at the end of his life, after he had a chance to experience life to the fullest as we would look at it in our modern day world. When he was closer to the end of his life, after he's seen the amazing things that this world has to offer, he said, now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. So this is what it's all about. This is what life is all about. He lived the fullest life that you could possibly imagine. If you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, I did it all. I had more fun than you can imagine. If money was no object, what would you do? He did it. And he said, at the end of his life, I have looked back on all that I've done. He said, here's the conclusion. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. In essence, he's saying everything that you could possibly do doesn't really matter if you're not doing the most important thing. Put God first. Now here's the question. How do we do all this? We don't know what we're doing. God's trying to make a masterpiece. How do we allow that to happen? It's really, really simple. Ask yourself a question. Am I honoring God in this? Me and my wife, this is a mission statement for our marriage. When we got married, we're like, what do? This is our mission statement, to honor God in it. And it's really easy to find out when you're not honoring God in it. When we're in an argument, I just have to ask myself, in this moment, am I honoring God? Usually I find out, no, I want to be right. If you're dating or engaged, just ask yourself the question, am I honoring God in what I'm doing? I'm shacked up. Am I honoring God by doing this? I'm single. Am I honoring God by being single? The taste is far slapped from the mouth. That's all you have. It's so simple, but it's not easy, is it? As I close, I just want to pray for you today. Would anybody like to say, yes, I want to be God's canvas. I want to become that masterpiece. I want to honor God in whatever stage that I am in. Would anybody like to live that way? If you would, just raise your hands and stand up for a second. You don't have to. This is a big, bold ask. Basically, I just asked you if you will rethink your life. And we know the application of this is more than just standing up. It's going to start the moment you're dismissed. It's going to start in the parking lot. It's going to start when you eat lunch. It's going to start tomorrow morning when you are confronted with issues. All you have to do is ask yourself the question, am I honoring God? Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you.